Good morning. It is January 2nd, 2025, 9 a.m. Calling to order the Communication and Technology Committee. Steve Booth, I'm leading the committee discussion today. With me is Director Linda Butler, also present Director of Finance and Administration Mark Matalich, and Board Secretary Amelia Wilder. The GM will not be joining us today.
I have not heard. I thought she would be there.
Mark, have you heard?
She sent a text and said she was not going to be here this morning.
Okay. All right, we'll proceed without the GM in presence then. We have an agenda with 9 items on it. However, I think I'd like to move item number 3 up next in the agenda. I think it's a pretty weighty discussion topic. So if there's no objections, then that item is discussion regarding strategic communications plan, including the pipeline. I'm not sure about the reference to the pipeline. Maybe that'll become evident. We talked last month about the need for the board to conduct a strategic planning meeting. My thinking is that we outline a plan for the board moving forward to meet our mission statement and goals that we may set for ourselves for the next 2-year period. I think 2 years is probably a good cycle to take a look at. Couple of things that are pending. I did ask Mr. Enright by telephone earlier this week about the logistics of the board being able to do this as a training exercise as opposed to an open board meeting. He was going to look into that and figure out what discretion we have. My thinking is that this would be a workshop for the board. I've scoped out tentatively an agenda for the planning session that would include an introduction of the parties. We also have talked about hiring a facilitator, which is the second logistical item. Amelia, may I ask you to reach out each to Mr. Enright, since he's not here this morning either, and also to our contacts at Liebert Cassidy, to see if they have recommendations and or staff that might be available to serve to facilitate the discussion during this strategic meeting. I think all 5 board members need to be participants in the meeting, and therefore I don't think it would be appropriate for any one of us to try to serve as facilitator. I know that there are lots of folks that do that kind of work. In fact, my son's master's degree is in strategic planning from USC, but I'm not going to call upon him to come help us here. So if you'd look in and, like I said, ask Mr. Enright if either they have someone on staff who could serve in that capacity, and also let's try to figure out what that might cost. It doesn't need to be a lawyer, and a lot of the law firms employ non-lawyers to assist in training and other kinds of things. And let's just see what we get initially from those two organizations, and if we need to expand our search, we can.
Yes, sir. I'll report on that.
Thank
as
you.
Soon as I can.
I appreciate that. Noting for the record that Director of Operations Eric Houston has joined us. Good morning, Mr. Houston. So what I'm thinking, and I think this would be a point of discussion for us to have with the facilitator as well, but kind of what I have in my mind is for this strategic session, an introduction, an early review of the district's mission statement, see whether it accurately captures what we are charged under the law with doing currently, if there's any modifications or amendments to that mission statement that might be appropriate. I think second in order would be for the board to identify the priority issues that we determine we should address over the next two-year cycle. I think relative to that, we should identify goals for each of those issues, what it is we hope to accomplish with regard to those various issues. I think that would need to include some discussion of metrics to assess our success in achieving those goals. We would need to identify actions necessary by the board and or staff to pursue those goals and to achieve them. And I think that in my brief discussion with Mr. Enright, it would be any policies or specific decisions and actions that the board makes that would clearly need to be discussed in an open public meeting. But I think that we can maybe identify some of the, hopefully we can identify some of those in a kind of an off-site setting, but we'll see what develops from that. I've seen other elected boards do that, so I think there might be an avenue, although I also understand that the state has kind of cracked down on some of that outside Brown Act discussion. So we'll wait to hear back from council on that. And then I think we would, in line with the metrics, have target dates that we would need as a board to revisit and identify the degree to which we've successfully moved towards achieving those goals. Director Butler, did you have any additional items for what you were hoping we would be able to achieve in this strategic planning session?
I did. Mostly it's additions to what you talked about, but I see this meeting as an opportunity for us to take a breath and come to terms with the fact that we have not got a plan and we need a plan. And for maybe 2 years, I'm thinking if we could extend it a little farther down the line on some issues. Long time ago when I first got here, about a year after I got here, I went to a training seminar that CSDA put on, and it was the whole kit and caboodle of how to run a district. But in that is a section, fairly 5 or 6 pages probably, of strategic planning meetings, how you can do it. It's not a predetermined, you know, cookie cutter kind of thing, which is important to me. Oh, it's not even me. Sorry, could you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to design it so that it fits what our needs are. You know, we don't need to have to constantly be going, oh, well, that's not the way the structure is set up. So I have strong feelings about that. I agree with Steve. I think that it's really important to be able to have the board deal with the board issues. It's a board workshop. And for us to be increasingly aware, informed, whatever, about what we're going toward, how we're doing it, because right now we just take what comes up, and there isn't really a plan, like I said before. So, and I'd like to look at this and review this, and maybe with Steve we could pull together some important stuff. You mentioned the mission statement. They talk about mission statement, vision, and objectives. So I think we could work that out. One of my biggest things in all of this is that we have a budget, but we also have other things that have to happen. And until we actually know what our budget says in terms of audits, et cetera, and how we're moving forward, I think it's really hard to determine where we should be spending our money. So my suggestion basically is that we take a break and not spend anything for a few weeks in her, except what we have to, because when we look at a subject like infrastructure, what we need to do is pull together the Loomis report, the capital improvements, and whatever monies we may be looking at in terms of emergency water supply or got building development. And that's just an example, that those three things could be pulled together and we can make a plan for how we're going to attack that. And infrastructure is really one of the biggest issues that we have to deal with. I wanted to say that before we, well, maybe I'll say this later, but there's a couple of things that I think we definitely need to do to tweak this plan. And if we want to deal with that under what, not strategic planning workshop, but I'm sorry, the plan for barcodes. That's another topic.
Yeah, that's another item.
So anyway, and I also see that this is going to take some time, maybe a day and a half. And I could see that it would be kind of in three sections, that you would have the throw it all into a pile and take it apart and see what we come up with. And then the second part of that would be doing the actual figuring, I guess you would call it. And that's where we would need help from Eric and Mark and probably Andy also. And security, that's a big question. So that would be the second part, and then the third part would be conclusions and opportunities to present them to the community. So that's basically what I had in mind, but I definitely see this as a necessary exercise for this board to take on in order to get us set straight.
Agreed, and I, you know, I don't know. One of the things, Amelia, that you may inquire when you reach out to those two law firms about a facilitator is obviously cost and availability. I think that on the one hand, we were thinking sooner is better in terms of organizing the strategic planning meeting or meetings. But I am also cognizant, and one of the last comments that Director Butler made about budgets and audits, and I don't know that we're going to have those completed before early to mid-spring based on previous representations from staff. So we need to consider that. I would like to have board discussion of this item put on the agenda for our regular January meeting, please, Amelia. That gives you a couple of weeks, hopefully, to be able to get some information about facilitator and available dates, and then I think we can discuss with the whole board, and we'll also have direction from Mr. Enright in terms of what flexibility we have in terms of conducting that.
For clarification, they must come and be on site with you. We're not going to accept somebody to come in and zoom in or any of that.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
The facilitator, they need to be here.
They have to be here, or do you accept somebody?
Yeah.
Okay, I just
want to.
They're going to write on the whiteboard.
That's what I'm thinking. I have memories of doing these things with a half dozen flip charts.
Yeah. And I know they're going to say, well, we can come remotely. And then I'm going to.
I really think we need a facilitator on site with us. And while we may end up identifying it as a board offsite meeting, if that becomes something that Mr. Enright advises we can do, I think it actually will be on site here. But again, we would sequester ourselves with the facilitator. I agree with Director Butler. I think this is predominantly a board-driven exercise. But we also will need, as she identified, to integrate with our key managers, because obviously they're going to have to carry out a great deal of the actual work and prepare the reports that, you know, we'll rely upon in terms of our success in reaching those goals. So
can I just throw one other thing?
Absolutely, please.
Mark has the big thing. The audit stuff going on. And so I agree with you. I think if we make this a little bit later, not only might we have more information, but I don't want to put pressure on Mark when he's trying to get that that stuff done.
Yeah, I that's why I think I was thinking the same thing. And I don't, and then we're going to be caught up in the budget process, so we'll have to talk about logistics and timing. I do know, and I'll just share in response to your last comment, we have placed on the agenda for the Finance Committee on the 7th of January an item that was discussed sort of a little bit in our last board meeting, and that would involve hiring some temporary employees to assist Mark with the tedium of some of that work relative to the audits. And so I don't know, Mark, if I asked this yesterday, but while I'm thinking about it, you know, we need to talk in terms of numbers and also, you know, hourly wages, and then, you know, look to reach out and maybe either hire some new temporary help or supplement with some of the help we are. Whatever we do, we've got to give you, I think, as we discussed in the last board meeting, more help to get that accomplished. Maybe a little sooner with that extra help, which would put us in a little better time frame. But I agree. I don't think we can do this in February like we originally had thought. I think it's going to...
I'm thinking March,
you know,
maybe.
Yeah, March end maybe, March. And maybe not even until April. Which does then, of course, also coincide with the budget. And maybe that's not all bad to have our strategic planning session, you know, occur in time frame adjacent to our initial budget discussions. Because I think a lot of our issues are either financial in nature or have financial implications. So... all right.
So 2 days, end of March, early April for my.
Yeah. Okay. I think so. I think, you know, that's a starting point for us, Amelia, and we can go from there.
It'll be helpful, I think, that it's budget time also.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because we'll be making that CEIP list.
All right. Any comments from staff, gentlemen?
No. No, all that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Any public comment?
Not on this topic, sir.
Okay. Then, Amelia, let's go back to item number 2 and take a look at your monthly update on our website and social media contacts, please.
Very good. For the website, we have our same friends that are coming in, about 1,500 users a month, staying on about 52 seconds each. Interestingly, the countries where they're looking at us from are identical to last month, so... nice not to see a change there. The main page, of course, had 1,200
hits.
How to pay your bill, employment opportunities, access to your account. So Beverly will be happy that people are trying to get onto that external website and go look at their account and pay their bills. Integrated water master plan and the frequently asked questions for the integrated water master plan. Rancho Mirada, San Jose, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Boardman again in Oregon, Moses Lake. Moving on to Facebook, huge number of people looking at us December 2nd and 3rd. I wonder if we were having a big storm then and they were looking at the Scott Road. That's a big one that the folks look at. My audience and followers, just about the same. My number one posts last month were the CSD payment box at RMA that has been ordered, and we are waiting for it to be delivered. Mm-hmm. Ron said that they have to pour concrete, more concrete or fixed concrete or something, so they know it's coming. And as soon as I get direction, I'm going to change that to we are installing a new box.
Can I just jump in on that? I would like to ask... you guys, if a member of the board would like to go out and do a site survey over at RMA and maybe help pick an optimal location for that payment drop box, since now we have the opportunity to possibly relocate it if we wish to do so.
Yeah, okay. You
want to
do it?
I can do that.
Okay, so when it comes in, I'll...
and I think we need to try to do well. I mean, getting it right is better than getting it quickly. I have some availability next week if Rod's available before the 8th. I'm out of town starting the 8th for several days again. And we have a couple of meetings the 7th, so I'll be out. Maybe we can coordinate. But you want to check in with Rod then and get back to me, Mark?
Yeah, that sounds
okay,
great.
That would be great.
And then the other, you know, the second post that was hit the most was the changes to organic waste. So we're still waiting for an official word. I hear it a lot when I do answer the phone or I am up front. When is that going to change? When are we going to go back to every other week? Just questions around that.
Yeah. Has Cal Waste given us any indication? No.
I don't know. Oh. I have no idea.
Mark, who's engaged in those discussions with Cal Waste?
With Cal Waste about the organics?
Mm-hmm. In the modification of our contract with them?
Mimi is engaged in that, and then I've been on several of the calls just to have some visibility on the issue.
Okay. Amelia, would you please request the general manager to provide the board, let's have it on the agenda for the general board meeting. Just if she could preview any developments with us prior to that meeting, that would be helpful. But at a minimum, we need to have that as an agenda item on
for discussion
on the 15th. Yeah.
There you go. Very good.
Well, it may also be an action item because if she's positioned to have developed some amendments potentially to the service contract with Cal Waste, we would want to be able
that
to adopt those
yeah.
amendments.
Yeah.
So let's plan it as an action item. And like I said, if you could indicate to the GM that board members would appreciate, you know, some sort of an update sooner than that, if possible, I think we would find that very helpful. And then, Mark, I'll wait to hear back from you about going out with Rod on placement of the box.
Sounds good.
Okay. Amelia, back to you.
That's my report. Are there any questions,
okay.
sir?
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I have to comment, because at the last board...
Have a question on this last item?
All right.
Sure.
Beth, please.
Beth Pederis. I was wondering on your hits, can you tell how many people have looked at the pipeline?
I cannot.
Cannot. Okay. Because when I get it in my... I don't get it mailed to me, so I look at it when I get my online bill. So when I do that, I also then post it to the RM community page on Facebook. So I'm trying to get people to look at it. And this last time I did point out, you guys need to read this. They're talking about the barcodes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just...
Beth, did you always use AutoPay?
Yes, always.
Okay, because one of the things that I did a little research on a year or more ago, but was the fact that people were not clicking
right.
on that, and so they were not getting the pipeline. So we went through a little exercise not too long ago of trying to identify all the people, you mm-hmm. know, who are getting a bill to send them the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
whether they're auto pay or not. And we got numbers that indicate that everybody should be getting a copy of the pipeline,
copy.
A physical copy
a
of the pipeline.
Copy. Yeah.
And you're not. And you're not the only person
right.
I've talked to
Wait,
about
a physical
that.
Copy or a digital copy?
No, a physical
copy.
A hard copy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
because people weren't clicking on it. And it's one of the
right.
Important ways that we have of communicating with the community.
Right.
That and the RVT.
right. 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 Now, over the years with the email, sometimes, you know, at one point in time, we were getting the pipeline link,
mm-hmm.
which reminded me
to go
there.
Right.
And then that stopped. And then recently, it has come back. So
okay.
that helps me remember, oh, yeah, I need to go look at the pipeline.
Yeah.
So.
And thank you for doing that.
right.
Yeah. Two.
Can you tell how many are clicking on it on your Facebook?
Oh yeah, no.
No. Okay. I was going to say because if it gives you that information, maybe it would tell me too. But no.
No. It was.
Then I can hear what you're saying.
No, on Facebook, it might show how many people have noticed that post or maybe somehow clicked on the comment but then maybe didn't make a comment. I don't really understand how the algorithm works there. But no, I can't tell from there if they've clicked on the link.
So I know as an initial poster, when you post something on Nextdoor, you get for the first couple of days periodic update on how many folks have clicked onto that post. And I monitor that because I notice, you know, we've got 1.5 thousand you know, clicks on our social media. I've received some comments that were not supportive about some of my posting, or just the fact that I am posting, as Director Merchant does as well occasionally, some factual information for the community, and questioning my use of that forum. And I point out that I generally get in excess of 2,000 hits whenever I post onto Nextdoor. So I find that to be an effective medium,
right,
for reaching out to the community. And I know, mm-hmm, you know, you and I have exchanged comments on that more than once, and mm-hmm, and you know, and review some of the same stuff. So I have attempted before to convince general manager and the board that Nextdoor might be another medium that we could choose to use to get information out to the community. It never gained any traction. I said, fine, then I'll just use it individually as a board member to communicate with my constituents, and I will continue to do that. The other point, back to the Cal Waste issue, we did receive in the mail this week or late last week a new pickup calendar, right, from Cal Waste, and it still contains all of the information about weekly organic pickup, mm-hmm, and you know, what is and isn't supposed to go. So you're probably going to, Amelia, Mark, your staff are probably going to get some more questions as a result of that, because we've told the public, hey, we have a waiver from the county. You don't have to separate the organics. You can put them in with your regular trash and garbage. And yet the provider is still telling them something different. So it would behoove us, I think, to try to resolve that issue with Cal Waste sooner rather than later.
And does anybody? I'll add that to the pipeline, and I'll put it on when I get the new calendar. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely communicate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 4-page spread, just like our pipeline, yeah, is from Cal Waste that was in the mail a day or so ago.
Yeah.
Does anybody know here how that got started? How we got relieved of doing that? I think that we just barely started to get it in our heads that we were going to do this, and then all of a sudden it was gone. I'm not taking a side on whether we should have it or not,
yeah,
but I'm just curious how that happened.
Yeah, I believe the county actually reached out.
Oh, really?
And said that communities of this size can obtain a waiver. And some of the rules that go with SB 1383 are pretty onerous. And I will tell you that, I don't have the exact number, but I think it's over $11, maybe $11.72
of our bill
over the last couple of years has been phased in and added to the, you know, every resident's bill, mm-hmm, for waste pickup. So the thought was, oh wow, if we can have a waiver, then we can back off some, yeah, of those fees and, right, save folks some money. So that was the impetus for getting, okay, started on that. And then, you know, in some early calls with Cal Waste, it seemed like it was going to be fairly straightforward, and then when the waiver came through and, you know, it was time to do it, then Cal Waste mentioned that they had several sunk costs and it wasn't going to be a full $11 70 some odd cent reduction. And so there's been some back and forth on what is that going to look like and how much are we going to be able to get savings for the community. So that's the goal.
Okay.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. They clearly had expenses in providing the new cans, three of them, to each household. I'm assuming that they had some additional capital expense in terms of probably additional trucks for pickup and probably personnel costs for additional pickup, since you're picking up that green can, you know, every week instead of every other week. So I think we expect that we wouldn't get a reprieve from the full $11 and change, but hopefully from some amount of that, and then hopefully we can then communicate with the public, hey, yeah, it's in, and, you know, like I said, I expect, I think, probably phone calls over the next several days, because the Cal Waste document is out, and it conflicts with what we've been telling people for the last 3 weeks.
Can we?
We'll look into it.
I was just thinking, can we post something on our website and our Facebook page? Mm-hmm. And just kind of describe what Mark told us. It was a.
I'll write something and send it over for approval.
Okay. Yeah. Just send it over, and I'll make sure we have the exact fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. We don't know if we get hits on the Facebook page, do we?
Yeah, I have about 1,500 people.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Every month.
So that'd be good to put it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion on that?
My mind is working today.
just one quick side note. I sent a text to Andy while we were going through this, and he thinks that there is a way to put a specific counter on specific pages of the website, like the pipeline, so we may be able to find a solution to provide you pipeline hits.
That's great. Oh, that's great.
We'll hopefully get an update from him then at a future meeting.
Yes.
Or maybe just in a general discussion item to the board. The next item is titled Communications with the Community. I'm not sure exactly what we have in mind on that particular item. It looks like it's kind of in the general sense. So, Director Butler, you have something on that?
I just went looking for our work earlier this year when we were re-looking at the Communication and Technology Committee and trying to put things together to determine what are we doing external communication-wise to the community, how do we communicate with each other. And we, Mimi was very helpful, and she put, we ended up with this 1.5-page report, so to speak, and we haven't really started on it other than to have it done. So, I'm not sure exactly how we are going to proceed with that, but communicating with each other is one thing, and then communicating with the community is another. And we only have, I mean, we have social media. Thank you, Beth. And we have the pipeline, and we have the Facebook page. And what else do we have, Amelia?
And we've held some town hall meetings, which is another form of communicating with the public.
And we have the answers to their questions when they call in.
Oh,
we do have the Q&A on the website.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have a lot of ways to communicate that we really were counting on or working with, I don't think. And I just think that we need to take another look at this, all of us, and come up with some ideas for how we can put some of this stuff into
and I
motion.
Again, I'm trying to be as diplomatic today as I can. but I think that there's not always been in the 2 years that I have now served on this board, there's not been a broad consensus about, A, the need for, or B, the methodology for communicating with our community members. And maybe this is a topic that we work into the strategic planning meeting.
Great idea.
And because the public's been telling us for the last 4 years, they want more transparency, they want more information. And the frustration that some of us share is the more we try to get information out there, the more we hear, well, I didn't get that. I didn't see that. I didn't open that link up. And
I don't get the pipeline.
Yeah, I don't get the pipeline. I think maybe that's something that we as a board, the dynamics have changed a little bit last month. I think we could put that on, identify that as one of the issues of just enhancing, you know, our communication with the public. And at some point, I'm afraid I'm going to find myself in a position of saying, look, we did the best we could getting the information out to you, and if you don't avail yourselves of it, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
And I know we last month talked about, well, it's the next agenda item here, the barcode fees proposal, and, you know, suggested putting a separate one-page document in with the pipeline and the bill addressing, you know, what it was that was proposed and how that money was going to be utilized. And because I think that, and Mark, you made the point, I think, you know, the information's available if they just go looking for it. I go, well, and we've even told them where to look for it. So I think that extra step, and, you know, I mean, those little things to me are not a great investment in time or expense, and if they enhance the sharing of information at all, then I think it's a successful endeavor. But, you know, that remains to be seen. I think there's still probably some opposition to that item in the community. Linda, anything else on item four?
No, I liked your suggestion of putting it on our strategic planning workshop. That'll be a good place to discuss it.
Because I think the whole board needs to chime in on what the expectation is. I mean,
right.
I again, based on my experience with the board over the prior 2 years, I think there was tremendous diversity in the way that board members viewed the community and how much commitment they were willing to make to improve communications with the community. So I think it would be an appropriate topic for the whole board. Mm-hmm. Beth, did you wish to speak?
Yes. With RMA, they will send out emails to the members of things that are happening, you know, whether it be the Christmas lights or a change to the CCNRs.
Right.
What if you guys did an email blast? You know, granted, you're going to have the emails of the customers, and hopefully you do. Maybe it's only connected to the billing system. I don't know.
Yeah, so there has been, for the last year and a half, an ongoing effort to have our customers provide email contact information, and Mark, maybe you can speak to it directly if you have knowledge. I don't think it's been all that successful. And I don't know that we even have access to a majority of the community in that regard. Mark, do you have any data on that?
No, I mean, I don't have the specific numbers, but that's exactly the case. There's been a big effort to try to obtain all the emails in the community so that we can do effective email blasts.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, it's been moderately successful, and you know, that would be something that if we can get some support or maybe some traction out there, maybe you know, we could give you some talking points, and if you would want to put them on your Facebook page for the community and discuss the benefits of having your email on hand, that might help enhance our efforts.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, that is a great idea, and it's something that the district and staff here have been trying to do since I've been here for a little over a year. It's just, we don't have that critical mass yet where we can say, oh, we sent the email blast out so everybody knows. It's not it's not to that point, but
right.
We would love to get there.
And there have been a number of reminders in the pipeline asking people to provide that email address. Now, if some of you weren't getting the pipeline,
right.
Obviously.
Or they're not reading it and they just throw it in the garbage.
Well, right. And again, you know, and that becomes kind of the tipping point sometimes in the discussion with this board.
Right.
And I'm just not willing to accept that answer.
Right.
Well, we get it. They don't read it. Tough.
Right.
I'm not willing to settle for that.
Right.
And I don't think Director Butler is either.
No
but,
way.
But it is frustrating, and mm-hmm. and it but yeah, if you're willing, and in fact, probably I will today or tomorrow put something on the next door. Mm-hmm. Again, saying, hey, we discussed it in the Communications Committee meeting mm-hmm. today. You know, we would like to be able, when important topics come up, like the changing garbage or mm-hmm. this the barcode fee issue, to be able to communicate on an ad hoc basis, you know, with the majority of the community. Mm-hmm. If we had your email addresses,
right.
you know, we could do that.
Right. Now, with RMA, when they send the email out, I go ahead and I cut and paste and put that on Facebook. I sometimes do it on Nextdoor.
Right.
The other thing, Mark, would you or would we be able to get email addresses from RMA? Would they share them?
They might have some.
It seems to me that we've approached that previously, and they were reluctant, really. And I, you know what? I wouldn't want them asking me to give email address for all of our customers either.
True.
I think we need to protect that if it's provided to mm-hmm. us, and I would suspect that they would feel the same way.
Okay.
And so I think we just need to continue mm-hmm. our own efforts, maybe renew those now. I remember when I was working for Sacramento Regional Transit, we decided on an annual basis mm-hmm. to reach out to the employees and say, hey, do we have your current home address, telephone number, and mm-hmm. emergency contact.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing over the course of a year how many of those will change. Mm-hmm. We had an employment force of 1,300, give or take. And it was easy for 10 or 20% of the folks to have some change. You know, divorces, marriages, deaths, mm-hmm. you know, affected the emergency contacts, people moved. And Amelia, let's be sure that we put something again in the pipeline that will go out in January, please,
yeah.
reminding folks. And that give us kind of a 3 or 4 prong attack this month, trying to enhance that and improve that. I think that would be beneficial.
I think that one of the things that we get lost in is what do we need to tell them, you know? And so I think that the focus changes periodically, but there's a few things like this that's happening right now that we should just be hammering them on it from every perspective that we can. That's my take on it.
I agree. Looks like Gail wishes to speak, ma'am.
Yeah, I was going to speak under public comments, but I'm not okay right now.
Okay.
Another avenue for conveying information to the community is the Riverdale Times. And under the previous ownership, when it was a weekly newspaper, it was already old news. But now that it only publishes twice
mm-hmm.
a month,
mm-hmm.
it's ancient history by the time it gets in the paper. Now, the good news about the new ownership is that they have the paper now has a website. And although hardly anybody knows about it, we also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account.
There was a preview posted, Beth, I don't know if you posted that, of the article based on some discussion points from our last board meeting.
Yes, and every now and then I've been trying to do that. I've been sending an article that I want published before it hits the printed edition,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it to Beth, and she's really good about letting people know and providing the link to the website. But I haven't been that quick about it. Sometimes it's a week after the meeting. Anyhow, I just wanted to tell you all about my New Year's resolution. Anyhow, my New Year's resolution is that when something newsworthy comes up, like the barcode sticker fees, which turned out to be a hot issue, is that I immediately put something out on the website, our Facebook page, and on Twitter. Probably just a paragraph or two, unless I have time for a complete story. As it turns out, there's now breaking news about the Rancho Marietta Country Club and the most recent update about the financial circumstances. And I was able to write a story yesterday, and I checked with Eric Dutton this morning to fact check some points. And I will have my editor post it to the website, and I'll let Beth know as soon as it's there. But that's my plan. it's not going to be everything, just, you know, really kind of hot stuff. I'm going to try and get it out there right away. But there's a big problem. People don't really know that much that we have a website.
No, that's right.
And our Facebook page, you know, when I had my great resolution, I said, I'll just look at our Facebook page and see what we're putting out there now. Because Messenger Publisher actually has a person hired to post Twitter and Facebook. There are like 28 publications. Anyhow, so I checked to see. I said, I just Googled for it. I said, Facebook page for the River Valley Times. I couldn't find it, no matter how I searched. Even ChatGPT couldn't find it. So I said, what's the deal? And she says, well, here it is. And you have to have the exact address, HBBT, www.facebook.com, Rancher, the River Valley Times. Then it shows up. And so I talked to Chad about it, and they said, well, it's obviously not been indexed by the search engine. So I said to our social media expert, why isn't it searchable? What we can do? And I just got this blank answer. So anyhow, but the good news is that the Twitter page is findable. While our Facebook, I guess people need to start using the, you know, going to the Facebook page so that
it shows
Google
up
will figure out that the algorithms will figure out that it exists. But in the meantime, so what I'm going to do is have it posted to the website, the Facebook page, and the Twitter page, and see where we go from there. But that's my New Year's. But it's only going to be for, you know, stuff that seems to be kind of hot. And kind of my idea is to get some kind of straight information or objective information, how I see it from attending the meeting, to, you know, be out there to counter some of the crap that shows up on social media, mm-hmm. or at least, you know, kind of counterbalance it just a little bit. So that's my plan.
Well, thank you for telling us about what River Valley Times is doing, because what you're doing, yeah.
Amelia, yesterday, I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet this morning, I did forward to you a copy of that email from the president of the RMCC board. Interestingly, attached to that letter from Mr. Dutton, which didn't really have any positive information to share about the status of the country club, other than apparently they are currently operating in the black, but that doesn't allow for any improvements or facility enhancements that, you know, have been talked about. There is no current buyer. His conclusion is that the current owners are not aggressively looking for a buyer. What I found most interesting was an attached letter from Mr. Dyer, who is the CAO or CEO or something of Rancho Murrieta Properties, and there's another entity that's identified as the actual real property owner of the Country Club properties. But what I found interesting was his letter concludes with an assertion that the irrigation system on the north course of the Country Club needs to be updated, replaced, I think is actually how it was described, and suggesting that the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District should pay for that and charge every ratepayer in the district for that. So I suspect there will be some additional communication, some questions coming in about that suggestion.
Oh my God.
I mean, we know that we have a contract with the country clubs as the primary resource for us distributing our treated water. But Eric, heads up for you, that came.
I don't think that's really news to us. During conversations,
it's not the first time they've done that.
Well, during conversations with them and Carol, they did make us aware over the last purchase, because part of the purchase concern is the aging infrastructure that delivers that water. And what I found in doing a little investigation and reading is it appears that the agreement is that they are to operate and maintain those lines. So as long as they're the owner, us as the district, the way I view it is those lines are belong to them.
To them.
And that was my conclusion. We're obligated to get to the water to mm-hmm. their system.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then it's up to them to distribute it on the golf course.
Correct. Just because of that, the way they contracted it,
right.
that's how it reads, basically.
One of the other problems with that is that they have a triple. The country club has a triple net lease, which means the owners don't have to do anything.
Yeah, part of the letter was chastising the country club for not making capital improvements on the properties owned by other people. I'm going, okay.
Yeah,
All right.
I think there may be some potential ideas that we can discuss looking at augmentation and wells and possible locations. That area does look advantageous for certain reasons, and I think that's something we could discuss at another time.
All right, well, in another context, yeah. Anything else on item four? All right, item five, I think, Director Butler, you asked to have this item. I know I mentioned earlier that, and a part of it was holiday travel and other things. I think we had some difficulty in determining what to put out with the pipeline on that issue. I haven't seen what went out yet in final form. I haven't received my bill yet or the newest pipeline. But the idea was to share information with what we were proposing for the barcodes and then how that money was going to be utilized to enhance our current security operations. And I know that there is a degree of resistance within the community, and I think there may even be some reservations on the current board about proceeding. So, Mark, I think you shared a document with us. Did you want to talk to that at all, or Linda, you want to speak to this?
Yeah. I think it's a great idea, but I don't think that... the community, first of all, has made the what would you call it? Maybe comparison. We're asking for annual barcode fees that, if for most people, would not be more than $30, $10 a car, right? And so, there's people here who have five cars or whatever. But if you take that as an average, compared to Measure R, which was going to be $25 a month. I think that's a way to help the community understand that we're getting something for for a lot less money that we need and a lot less money out of the community's pocket. And so I think that needs to be brought up and kind of talked about. I had a lot of questions, but a couple of comments. One of the big objections to this is that behind the gate people are paying for it, and the commercial center and homes, the village and the gardens, are going to get the bulk of the service. I'm looking at this methodology used to derive costs, and as you look down that amended budget, for this security patrol is $449,000 plus. And for behind the gates is $224,000, which we can round up. So I need to tell you, 89% of the problems we have in this community are behind the gate. And I think that we're not going to get a positive feedback for this if we're asking the people who live behind the gates to pay for patrol that is not going to be behind the gates. I'm going to go back to Kelly Benitez, who had a really good way of relating to the community. Excuse me. And he had presentations each board meeting with all kinds of reports and all that sort of stuff. And I'm going to go into that at the security meeting. But the reality is that they're not going. This community is not going to respond really well to that perspective. If they're paying, they want the service, and what we have patrol-wise and employee-wise can be worked on so that we don't just have 24/7, 365. There's times and there's places and there's situations where you need to have a security officer more than once in an evening. So I want to talk about that in the security meeting. I kind of wish we'd talked about that first, but in security first. But so that's a big objection, is that the residents are paying for commercial gardens and village patrol. So I was just wondering a couple of things, because communication has been difficult on this. When did the district first propose this? And I went back and looked at a variety of different meetings, and it looks like the first time we heard about it was October.
Okay. That's correct, October.
Okay, so two comments on that. I didn't see it as an emergency, and I felt like you had other things to do. So I'm not sure why we're rushing through this, but I also saw the breakout that that we have costs that we aren't covering, stickers or the barcodes, I'm assuming. Labor, maintenance, and operating costs. I'm not sure what all that is, but I think that the RMA has a big part of this, because it's their rules we're enforcing. And so what part of all of these things is RMA paying for at this point? We pay for the barcodes, right?
We do.
Mm-hmm. And what do they do?
In terms of?
Do they give us, do people go to them to fill out a request for a barcode, and then we act on that?
We get the form from RMA.
Yeah, okay.
And then we take that and a $10 check over to the South Gate. And
right.
Our security personnel affixes it onto the vehicle.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
And I assume then we must complete the input into the computer system too, because they can pull up and
right.
see which
right.
vehicles I have a barcode sticker for.
Yes, and the purpose for that, the way that process is designed, is so that RMA knows that everyone that's getting a sticker is supposed to have a sticker, so they vet that out.
Okay. The barcodes for commercial, personally, first of all, we're not going to get anybody to pay that, which is or very few. I don't see the Mullen Blowers paying $500. They'll come through the gate. And frankly, my own perspective is that we need to know who's coming in here. And I'm not very high on the concept of giving commercial vehicles barcodes. Two exceptions, and John Merchant talked about this a little bit, not commercial, but having a barcode for family members or friends that visit frequently, I would put a limit on that. In other words, maybe two people can get a barcode who come to your house, you know, regularly or frequently. The other thought that I had was caregivers who come to Rancho Murrieta, they're hired by families or whatever to take care of people. That would be, I think, a group that would, and I don't know how much this happens or how often it is, but I think that could be a group that was isolated, given a different color barcode or however you separate that up. Same thing with families. One thing about giving people information, it's not, since people are auto-paying, not everybody gets the pipeline or gets a mailed bill. So when we want to send out something to them specifically talking about this, I'm sorry, my throat's getting dry. Specifically talking about barcodes, we've got to figure out how else we can get that information. If we're going to mail it to people who get a bill, are we going to try and mail it to the people who don't get a bill, except online? Something like that.
The information about the ordinance, or when their barcode is renewed, or which?
No, about this subject.
Oh, just the subject itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what we talked about, wasn't it, Steve, that we would do a separate mailing?
So the pipeline, there's a link on the bills for the pipeline.
I know.
So, okay.
We talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody uses it, by the way, Mark.
Okay.
We don't know how to measure the hits, number one, or we can't measure the hits, right?
Well, he just said that maybe Andy knows how to do it. So.
I know. I'm just saying.
But currently,
right,
I don't
now.
Have.
Right.
I mean, but if he knows how to do it, then we can probably get historical information from that.
Okay. That
maybe.
Who's hitting? You know, if we're getting any hits on that?
No, okay. that came up today, and that's a great idea, and so we got right on it during the actual meeting. So I'm hoping I'll have an answer for you. I don't see why not, because you can. I mean, that's pretty basic to put a counter on a page. So I'm very confident that we could do that. It might take a little bit of restructuring the way that the specific pipeline comes up on the district's website, but I'd be surprised if we weren't able to put a counter on it.
Okay, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we could tell if we're wasting our money sending stuff out or not, you know, getting it out there.
Sure.
I think the community understands this, but I think this is another important issue for us to make sure that they get it. We don't write the CCNRs. We just enforce them. And so if you have an issue with a CCNR, you need to go to RMA or bring that up at one of their meetings. But what we try to do is enforce the rules. And so how that gets done is complicated at this point, but and has been over the years. But I think that's another item that we need to make sure that people understand. The list of things that we take care of, I'm going to deal with in the security meeting.
Well, and there's a broader question still lingering, and that is, we don't know what happened with the discussions about the potential for RMA to assume responsibility for security. I don't think we've had a report back from the Joint Committee or from Director Mabee, who was the liaison to RMA during that. So I think that's something that maybe your security committee needs to to bring up and then bring before the board. So we have, Mark, off the top of your head, if you know, what percentage or what dollar value of our security budget comes from those properties outside the gates?
So I actually have that number, but the inverse. I have the inside the gate number.
Okay.
Okay. And so, and Director Butler, I know you mentioned 89% of the stuff is behind. So we use a little
bit. Excuse me, Mark. In terms of
response.
Kelly used to keep track of that.
Yeah, patrol.
Yeah.
Right. So we use a little bit more conservative number, but so we have the security admin position, which is the security sergeant, admin sergeant.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to hedge up. What I'm asking for is the revenue collected. Do we know how much of Measure J money is collected from properties on the north side of the highway, and how much is collected from the properties on the south side of the freeway?
I don't have that number specifically here. That's something that we could easily obtain for a future meeting, but I don't have that.
I think that would be beneficial for two reasons. And since we're talking about communications with the community, the document that you worked up for the Finance Committee and then the board, Mark, which was, you know, showing the costs attributable behind the gate. And the point that Director Butler makes is that you're identifying security patrol as basically being split 50-50 behind the gates and outside the gates in that document. And I think she's questioning that distribution. And we can certainly revisit that, you know, in another discussion.
Sure.
there are folks across the highway, this side of the highway, that live outside the gates that question, they believe that they're subsidizing the gates.
Which is comical, actually.
Which, when you look at the comparative collections in terms of the billing per property, I doubt that that's the case at all. I think I factored out one time what the total cost based on, well, that was assertion came from the village in particular. Mm-hmm. And I calculated what the total collection annually from the village was, and it's like $14,000. Yeah. You know, towards $1.7 million budget.
It will be vastly more from inside.
Yeah, so I can, but I think we need to take a look at communicating that distinction. In fact, that the gates are funded solely by the properties behind the gates, and do that breakdown. And I think you need. I would recommend that you revisit the allocation of patrol.
Absolutely.
I know that we're seeing. First, we're seeing growth on this side of the highway, and we are seeing more reportable incidents in the commercial center because it's drawing more people from outside the community, probably as much or more than the reports come about people inside the community. But I think that we probably need to break some of this stuff down a little bit and show folks what they're paying and what they're getting for their money, which is something that I've been arguing since Measure R was on the ballot, and it wasn't. There are those that believe that it was done. I will say it wasn't well done from my perspective and that of a lot of other folks. And so part of our, you know, communicating, and there's still a belief among some members of the community, and I've tried to dissuade them to the contrary, I know you have as well, that there's a surplus of money in the security budget. And, you know, why are we talking about raising any fees? I mean, I'm seeing that
in the
social media.
And you weren't here for the, what was it, 2022 budget experience? Count yourself lucky.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to add is that the villages and the gardens, I don't know how much the commercial people are paying. The villages and the gardens were paying $7.61 about. And then we had a 2% increase, and so it's probably gone up a dollar maybe or $2.
No, not even that.
Okay. So
It goes up 2% on $7 is 14 cents.
Oh, okay. I had my decimal point in the wrong place. Sorry about that. So it's hard to give the same kind of service that you would expect when you're paying $35 or $38. And not all of that, believe me, is for the gates. Now, but maybe a percentage that I don't know actually is for the gates. But anyway, my thoughts are that Kelly used to do this amazing thing when he scheduled stuff, and he filled in a lot, and you know, he did a lot of things that were really helpful. They wanted Kelly to provide people walking through the community, through their communities, and then more patrols through the communities. There was just a lot of the sense that they weren't getting what they were entitled to, but they were paying $7.61. So, and as far as the grocery store is concerned, grocery stores and other stores all over the world, but we'll just talk about Sacramento, have a huge problem right now because people are just walking out with stuff, walking out with liquor, walking out with groceries. People who don't live here, people who do live here, and that I think it's the rule that I don't know if everybody uses it, but it may be even a law, that if it's under $900, you shouldn't bother with it. You shouldn't, you know, approach people or do anything. I personally feel like the grocery store needs its own security in that arena. Not that we would take ours away necessarily, but if they want theft prevention and all that sort of stuff, I don't see that as our responsibility.
I think that's an argument to be made in terms of the entire commercial center.
Okay.
While, you know, we're not a police force, and I'm certainly okay with our folks responding, I mm-hmm. think you're right. When I go other places, when I go to malls, when I, you know, more and more places are employing private security on their commercial properties. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably, again, a point of discussion, something that we've never really completed. I started a dialogue a couple years ago about distribution of security and the patrol functions, and I don't know if we're still locking up the post office and the country and the club at the village. I don't know. I know that we kind of backed off writing
Amelia
parking
no.
tickets, and you know, but I think we need a full analysis, and we need to follow up with a coordination with RMA. I thought that our previous president was going to be negotiating an update to our contract with RMA for enforcement of their compliance issues, and I've not seen anything progressing in that regard. So I think it's something, Linda, that you may want to revisit. And again, I think it's time for us to reach out to the community with maybe a town hall meeting, one, to demonstrate how the current security funds are A, being collected, B, being spent, and then B, to have the community provide us with some input in terms of what is it you expect and want from our security force. And we need to then be able to say to them whether we can do that with current finances or what it would require in terms of enhanced finances. And I think we also can have this communication with the community. If we hand it over to RMA, they're restricted by how much they can increase their dues by their bylaws. I don't think it's quite as restrictive as we are with taxes. But I just think there's just room for a lot of communication. And again, I think there continues to be misinformation and misconception in the community about what our security department is, how it's funded, and where the services go.
Ditto. And as it relates to the barcodes, I think that we really do need to look at some of this a little bit more before we take a vote on it, because I'm not prepared to take a vote on this at this point.
So one thing I do want to make sure that I have not put out misleading information. So the 50% in the fee study, there was a security costs were broken out into three line items: admin, gates, and patrol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the 50% number that was used on security wasn't meant to say we're cutting patrol services behind the gate, and 50% of patrol is going to happen behind the gate, 50% is going to happen outside the gate. That was just a very conservative number to allocate expense. And so the whole thought process behind this fee increase was that, you know, there's a fee there that hasn't increased in 30 years, and, you know, part of the overall security picture that's getting enhanced, you know, the thing that's visible that's getting enhanced is patrol, going back to full coverage patrol. But what this was saying is, hey, there's, in that particular study, was there's $1.37 million of expense that's allocable to services being provided behind the gates. It was a conservative way to allocate patrol costs to behind the gates, But if we make it to 87%, then really what we're saying is, you know, $1.56 million of expense from the security budget is going behind the gates, which, you know, kind of lends itself more to, yeah, the barcode fee is reasonable and warranted, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it didn't even need the 87%. It really, the 50% was enough. But I just want to make sure, because when you mentioned that, I thought, oh, my gosh, I didn't even consider somebody might look at that and say,
yeah,
oh, they're going to cut patrol services. That is not
behind the gate.
That is not happening. Patrol services are going to be enhanced.
Well, and the reality, and that's why I say I think it's important for us maybe to have a legitimate breakdown of revenues coming in and expenditure allocation, because the amount paid by those on the south side of the highway is much less per property than that on the north side, and that's because we staff those gates 24/7. If you look at the attributable cost, that's nearly $800,000 mm-hmm. a year, and we're spending just shy of $450,000 a year on patrol, and patrol is the only thing out of measure are funding that the people on the south side of the highway get. So we probably need, again, my thinking is it's probably the reverse from what the people on the south side think.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably subsidizing patrol from behind the gates.
That, mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, which is, I think, exactly the concern that Director Butler has, that some of the folks may say, wait a minute, you're going to charge me $30-$40 a year for my barcode sticker, and a good portion of that money is going to go to the people on the other side of the highway, as opposed to those of us that live behind the gates that, you know, that utilize the barcodes to get in and out. So there's a lot of room for, I think, some sharing of information, and again, we'll share it, and we'll still have misconceptions, and we'll still have people that will object. All I can hope for is that we provide the best information possible. I supported this concept a couple of times at Finance and at the board. I'm taking some heat, you know, for that, and I'm taking some heat for suggesting that maybe I back away from that and give ourselves a little more time. I don't know. I mean, maybe this would have been better coming up at budget time. And, you know, the whole dynamic, I still think, personally, I think it's a good idea.
I do, too.
And so I just think that we need to, we have a public hearing on the 15th of January, mm-hmm. And potentially adoption of, is it a resolution or an ordinance?
It's an ordinance.
It's an ordinance.
Yeah.
I think it needs some tidying up. I don't know how else to put that. And I know this is a big distraction from what you are charged with doing now, and that's the other reason why I asked at the last meeting to maybe have it tabled. And again, like Steve, Director Booth has said, it's a good topic to work with at the strategic planning meeting and at the budget time. So I don't know how we do that or what should happen there, but
we'll leave that to the pleasure of the majority of the board on the 15th in terms of whether we proceed with this or not. But I think that having some of that information that I've described, Mark, at that meeting, so that we can share it with Gail, we can share it with Beth, we can mm-hmm. put it out however we choose to. And I've tried to explain that. And again, like I said, people that I thought were fairly good at familiarizing themselves with information about this district put up some posts that I just go, really? You're saying that? I know you know better. But you know who I'm talking about too, don't you? But anyway, so I just think if we proceed with this, I think Director Butler's right. We're going to, especially the details about how it will be administered, Mark. Mm-hmm. I think we didn't spend much time here talking about that. I get it. you know, January, you're going to have however many barcode stickers you got, you're going to get $10 added to your bill. And that'll happen for the first time if this is approved in March of this year,
yes,
for those of us that already have barcode stickers. And it's real simple. At date 30 days after we adopt the ordinance, if you want a new sticker, it's going to cost you $25. I mean, it's pretty simple. There is concern about, you know, there was suggestion, okay, well, what if I don't pay it? Well, you're going to write a check or you're going to pay for your CSD bill minus the $30 renewal fee? You're going to short up? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to get into those weeds if and when it occurs.
Right.
And as I've argued, you know, they're optional. No one is required to have a barcode sticker on a vehicle. It is simply a matter of convenience,
yes,
and it does relieve stress at our gates in terms of having to have gate officers. And we know at holiday time, the lines go up and all the way down Jackson Highway, you know, when people are coming in to visit with family. So I just, again, I think there's an opportunity here for and again, I'll look and see what went out already. But I think this is an area where we just need to continue to share information with the community. And, you know, some of them aren't going to buy it no matter what we show them or tell them, and that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think the majority will support this ultimately.
I do too. I think, again, we have to make that comparison between Measure R and what they turned down, which was $325 or so dollars a year, compared to, if you have three cars with barcodes, $30. And we're going to get something for that. We're going to get that patrolman.
And an administrative sergeant, which I think will address some of the concerns that you shared about what Kelly was doing and is no longer doing.
Right.
My understanding is some of that responsibility would fall upon the admin sergeant.
Stay for the next meeting.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. And just to kind of put a bow on that, it's you know, this has been a comprehensive approach. This isn't just let's rush and increase the fee. There have been a lot of cost management ideas that have been put in here too, and I would say vastly more money has been saved by replacing that fairly high dollar chief position with, you know, an admin sergeant, and, you know, switching the way that we have the employee makeup full-time, part-time at the gates and those kind of things. So this has been a 360 degree approach. Let's cut some costs. Let's be smart about that, but then let's also look for some ways to bring in a little more revenue so that we can get back to that level of service in an important department like this, right? We're talking about the safety and security of the community, and let's get back to that full coverage, which is, I mean, based on what I've heard, you know, that's, you know, the community expects a certain level of service. I don't think they're getting that now. I don't think they've gotten it for the last couple of years.
This is a survey that RMA did 2019-2020. Why did your household move to Rancho Murrieta? Number one, security.
Okay. Gated community.
And number four was the golf course. The rest of it was rural setting, nature and wildlife, peaceful.
And just one additional point on that too, and I think it's important for the community to know this and understand how the schedule works for security and the gates. You know, there are enough gate officers to man the gates 24/7, 365 times two gates. These people need to take a vacation. Sometimes
right.
they get
right.
sick. Sometimes they have an emergency and they can't come in. And so the biggest safeguard against having an open gate arm, which we haven't had here, I don't think maybe ever, but I know Kelly, when I first started, he used to mention it all the time as a possibility because they were short on patrol. The biggest safeguard against that is having a patrol person or a community service officer around on all the shifts, because that person can easily just go slot over and cover a gate shift. And then it also helps with costly overtime. So there's kind of a synergy that goes with having that person that's outside the gate and that's doing patrol and working with the community. But then, you know, if you have something happen at the gate, having that flexibility to say, oh, we need you over there for a couple hours.
Cross-training.
But there are certainly, there's a significant element within our community that doesn't believe that we should have to pull our patrol officer off to man the gate, to staff the gate. And, you know, I don't disagree with that. But again, it's a matter of how do we fund everything we need.
Right.
It's a simple fact. When you just, everybody's complaining this day and age about inflation over the last 3 years. And we're only able to increase the tax that we collect for security by 2% a year, mm-hmm. which was like a quarter of what the inflation rate was running 21, 22. And we don't keep up. And, you know, we've negotiated fairly modest increases for our staff. It was a little bigger than average last January, but it's pretty close to in line with the current inflation rate for this January. We only could increase the taxes we're collecting by 2%, well, plus any new development. And I don't want to get into that discussion right now. There are those that believe that more development's the panacea for everything until we have no water. But anyway, I think we have a public comment. Beth, did you wish to speak on this?
And then I did want to just point out that security was scheduled to start at 10, so that meeting is going to be coming late.
Yeah.
And it's going to probably take an hour, maybe
it
less.
Take as long as it wants.
I mean, we've talked about some of it here, but yeah. I have it structured for specifics.
Beth?
Sorry.
Yes. I never knew what 2% was, and like a year ago, I finally realized what 2% equaled. And I think when you do address the community regarding the barcode costs that you're, you know, proposing, I think you ought to say, do you realize what 2% really is? Do you realize that, like you said, $7 times 2% is 14 cents? Do you realize that's nothing?
Yeah.
You know, so I know people are, you know, I was against this, I had emailed you after the October board meeting, and I said, I'm not for this. I, you know, you're going to make me pay to come into my own community. So I was pissed. But I calmed down. But then once the community found out about it, then they got angry. And, I mean, one lady is even like, well, I'm going to go to have my barcode disconnected as of January in protest. Yeah. But she lives on the south. Big deal. The north is the harder gate to get into with all the traffic. Steve, you had talked about what residents, residents wanted from security, what qualities?
The components, yeah.
Components. In that survey, I don't know if it was the same survey you were referencing.
I think it's the only one they've done in a long time, yeah.
Okay, there was a survey, and it said, what are your main concerns? So that kind of already answers that, if you want to try and find that survey.
Well,
Yeah, the survey the CSD did regarding Measure R was right. Slanted terribly.
Right, but then there was also an RMA okay. survey, I believe.
Okay.
I really think the gate officers should be paid for by RMA because they only benefit the gates. They keep people out of the community, and RMA is the one that should be paying for that.
Can we
yeah.
move yep. to the next meeting yep. so that we can address yep. some of those things? I yeah. do have some of it listed. Thank
All
you,
right.
Beth.
So that was item 4. I actually earlier misread the agenda. Item 5 was, item 6 was strategic planning workshop. We actually already had that discussion, and we also covered the strategic communications plan and in that same discussion. So I think we're down to, are there any additional comments from the public?
No, sir.
And then we're down to final comments from directors and or staff. I have nothing to add. Director Butler?
The only thing I want to make sure is that at each one of these things we've had lots of conversation, and so what did we end up with? The strategic plan, we're going to continue to work on that. Communications with the community. We also discussed that, and we'll continue to work on that. The barcode fees, are we, we're going to just go on track the way we started to, or, I mean, with the next meeting and ask
for
a vote?
Well, it's scheduled for the board meeting for the second reading of the ordinance, and it's up to the majority of the board whether or not we adopt that ordinance at that meeting and then implement the barcode fee changes 30 days thereafter.
Okay.
So we can certainly have open discussion at the board meeting. I have heard and seen some things that suggest that you may not be the only director with questions, so we'll have an open and frank discussion about that, and it will be up to the majority of the board whether we proceed at this time or delay it.
And Mark, you're going to try to put together some, you know, from our comments and suggestions, a couple of clarifications?
Yes, I will put together an analysis of the revenue collected and where, if it's coming from in or outside the gate, and then I will update the expenses allocated to inside the gate to put patrol at 87%, and then we can explore that.
Great, thank you. Strategic workshop. You think that the committee should put together a more comprehensive plan and then bring that?
Well, I have put into the record today, you have enhanced what we think needs to go into an agenda. We've asked staff, we've asked Amelia to reach out about finding us a facilitator. I think we have a discussion at the January 15 meeting about this. Hopefully we can make it an action item so we can decide to hire a facilitator and set calendar dates. And then I think either this committee,
I'm looking at format, yeah.
I think either this committee and or the ad hoc committee that has not yet convened, can try to put together with the facilitator. I think we would want to work with the facilitator to get their suggestions on how, you know, we might organize and proceed with our strategic planning workshop.
And I'll go through. Oh, thank you. Who did that? I'll go through the conference and pull out the stuff that I think would be helpful and relative.
All right.
Okay. That's all.
Staff, anything else?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, being no further business before the committee, we will adjourn.
Thank you. Really, thank you very much for your participation.